and verse 24. And it says in Matthew 14:24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I want you to hate when things are contrary. This kind of seems like that's the way a lot of things are anymore. It's contrary. Down to grocery shopping, to getting your car looked at, to all the different things that go on in life. Just kind of seems like things get contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. We've looked already at a storm that took place while Jesus was in the boat. He was there, and it took him a while to remember he was there, and it took him a while to do anything about it. They were bailing water and battening down the hatches, all the things that you do. And then finally they came down to the Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And they went to him after a while. Now there was no Jesus in the bottom of the boat. And what were they doing? They were doing what they were told to do. John 6:14 tells us, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And in that we also see where he told the disciples, you go, get in the boat and go. I'm going to go to a quiet place. And we see the Lord do that time in and time again. Where in certain times of trouble or problems, when his body would get weary, he would depart and he would go and he would pray. And we see there is such a great encouragement to us. The need to take time for spiritual rest. Not just a vacation. I don't think I vacation properly. I know a lot of people, they say they vacation to go relax. The last thing I end up doing on a vacation is relaxing. I want to go do this, and I want to go walk over there, and I want to see that, and I want to take a tour of this, and I want to go walk through that, and I don't relax. Typically, when I come back, I'm tired. I need an extra day before I go back just to relax. Hey, fun is good. It's good for the mind. It's good for the body. Vacations like that, they're important for us to take. They're great for a family. They're great for a couple. They're great by yourself if you can swing it. It's amazing to go with friends. But it is not the same as spiritual rest. Right? You need one, but you need the other too. You need time of spiritual rest just as much as you need time for physical or mental rest. You know, you come back, you get your mind off of things while you're out there having fun, and you come back and your brain feels better. I tell you what, you take time for spiritual rest, you'll come back feeling better. So the Lord, he departs out into the wilderness, and then we see them, what are they doing? They're out doing what God asked them to do. And here comes this great big wind. We've always been promised that persecution and tribulation will be a part of our existence. We know that not only will people persecute us for being Christians, but that life itself will be hard because that is, in fact, the nature of life. That we live in the world where we have to say goodbye. We live in a world where we need doctors. We live in a world where we need policemen. We live in a world where we need firemen. And this is a dangerous place to live, but it's the only place we got. And God, he gives us grace. And he warns us, this will happen. And while they were out there serving the Lord, it wasn't some person with a high-minded opinion. It wasn't a person throwing stones. It was a wind blowing. Man, someone's throwing stones at you, you could probably stop them. Somebody else could come by. I talked to a police officer one time. I said, I understand that it's my duty as a Christian to turn the other cheek, but it's your job to make sure no slapping takes place. hey, we live in that kind of world where I could stop a person. I could stop something wrong from happening. I can't stop the wind. Anybody lose power for just a little bit? Man, don't you wish you could just, hey, listen, it's getting too close to bedtime. I need my CPAP to sleep. Can the wind just calm down for a second? There's nobody I can call for that. I can't call the local weather person and say, hey, listen, can you put a stopper on this for a second? When it comes down to the weather, it's going to do what it does. And the only person we've ever known to be able to control the weather is the Lord. I know they've come up with some crazy scientific advancements where they can do some things, where they've been able to show that they can do this or that, and it's pretty cool to learn and it's pretty cool to watch, but ultimately the only person who really has control over what's going on is the Lord. And from their perception, you look left, he ain't there. Go check in the bottom, he ain't there. Why? We left him in the desert place. We left him in the wilderness like he told us to do. But the fact of the matter is those disciples, they could have been in a rocket ship headed to Mars, and they were not further away from the Lord than would be necessary to lose contact with him. He could be right there with them. We think of Psalm 139. My mind goes back to Psalm 139. Even if I make my bed in hell, you're there. Doesn't matter where I am, you're there. I can't escape it. I can't get lost in the sea. Even if I'm like on the television show, I could be on Gilligan's Island all by myself. And the Lord would be there. Why? Because his love for us does not wax nor wane. He doesn't love us more in one minute than he does the other. His love, his effectual care, his plans for you, they do not change. Even though we may be in some rough waters, even though the sea may be choppy, we have God's care in our lives. You gotta cross some danger in this life. You run the risk of everyone you love, possibly them hurting you, or something happened in loving them where you get hurt, or them getting hurt. You always run the risk of these things. You can sit there and you can say, well, if I love somebody, then they'll either leave me or they'll die. I just don't want to have anything. I'd just rather not have friends. I'd rather not have loved ones. I'll go off into the desert and I'll go far away from everybody. I'll go into the hills of Kentucky where no one will ever find me. And I'll be all by myself and I'll never get hurt. And then the loneliness steps in. There's no avoiding pain in this world. But God, in his infinite mercy, he is our friend. He walks with us through those times. And many times he calms things and stops things from getting worse. You ever go through a hard time in your life? And you can sit there and you can say, well, at least that didn't happen. Well, at least that didn't happen. We've been through a few doozies in our lives. We said, well, it could have been worse. Remember that little, what do they call it? Super burst, power burst, whatever, wind burst down there when we lived in Flushing? That wind was kicking and rocking and it just ripped up all the trees down there in Flushing, made a big old mess. I didn't take it seriously at first. Danielle's dragging the kids downstairs and I'm like, yeah, this is probably fine. I'm out there, we had that breezeway between the garage and the house. And I was just sitting out there, this is probably fine. It was not fine. I said a lot of things. I was like, well, at least none of our trees came down. I mean, you came through. There was huge trees pulled right out of the roots. I go, well, at least that didn't happen. At least I wasn't foolish enough to stay out in that center part. You know? Because I am that guy, man. I'm there. If you're ever sitting there, you're watching, what fool would sit there and videotape a storm like that going on? That's me. That's my people. Right? If anything ever happens to me during a storm like that, you don't have to tell my dad. It probably happened to him too. You following me? Just, man, at least that didn't happen. Hey, you know, I know this has been a rough go, but the surgery went well. Oh, okay. Well, surgery went well. It's been a rough go to get here, but that's great. Happens. And people say, well, yeah, there's going to be some successes. It's just the random chance of probability. Listen, I've had far too much of what they would call good fortune to believe that it belonged to fortune. I've had far too much good luck to believe it belongs to luck. There's just been way too many things for it to be a coincidence that God has blessed our lives with. where I have to sit there and say this stung, this hurt, I hated every second of it, but look where I am. And I would have loved to have gotten here any other way, but God has blessed in bringing me here. As we continue to read, as they're going through and the wind's tossing, where are they? They're in the fourth watch. Now the Romans, they would split the days up into different watches. So you're looking at anywhere between 3 and 6 a.m. this is going on. That's pretty late in the night, isn't it? Most of you, I hope and pray, are not up at 3 to 6 a.m. But isn't it funny how often when we're fighting things in our lives, we are? I'll wake up at 3:30 in the morning, the middle of a storm. Not a physical one outside, but one in my life. I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning in that fourth watch. Just wait for the Lord. Lord, what am I supposed to do? I don't know how to fix this. Lord, the list of things that are needed and the list of the ways to do them are far more complicated than I'm capable of. Lord, what do I do? That is a rough watch, that 3 to 6 a.m. shift. You're tired. You're wore out. And not only are they tired and wore out, but they're tired and wore out after a whole day of working and serving and doing things. They were already tired. And now there they are fighting the wind, tired and scared. And they're wondering, how do we fix this? Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. I mean, could you imagine that you're out there, you're lost in the sea, and things are shaking all over, and you know, and many of the other fishermen who are in the boat know, we could die. And you look over, and there's the booger man walking out to you. Now listen, we know who that is. That's the Lord. But in their mind, what the Lord was doing to help them scared them more. Now that I can associate with. I'll be in the middle of a problem and things will start to change. I'll go, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't like that. And the thing that bothered me so much turned out to be the answer. You know, brother, I hate to pick on you, but I'm going to pick on you just a little bit. I don't know why. Brother Bill had his PET scan yesterday. The machine broke on him. Brother, I don't know why the Lord's not ready for you to have the surgery. But I trust him. Hey, you know? Whoa, whoa, why? You mean you run this thing so many times a day, and on me who's been interrupted umpteen many times in this process, you're going to break it down now? We don't know what he's doing. It looks like the booger man, but it's probably the answer. It's probably the answer. I've done that so many times. Man, this thing is bothering me, and I'll let things consume me just for me to watch the Lord come out of it and go, all right, here's your solution. And I'll tell you what, sometimes I let my pride get in the way. No, Lord, you go back. We're skilled fishermen. I can't let anybody think I'm a bad fisherman. Some of you men on board with me in here? I had my neighbor came over. We were talking, and he's got himself one of those buzzsaw things. He likes to chop down limbs and things. But like a lot of men, he bought a tool he could only use once or twice. And we got to talking, and he offered to come over and remove some of the limbs from my trees. And I go, hey, I don't have one of those, but in my heart, you already know what I probably did. I don't want help. Because if you come to help me, then maybe you think I'm not a man. I'm a man. I'll prove to you that. And I made a comment, and he thought it was funny, and I thought it was funny. He goes, you need help carrying him back? I go, no, I can carry him back. I just can't reach him. You helped with the hard part. That's the way we are. Well, you know, you could probably take that problem into some of your friends at church and pray over it with them and talk to them about it and get some advice. No, because then they won't find out I'm the perfect Christian. Hey, have you thought about bringing that problem to your pastor? I don't want to bother him, and I don't want him to know that I've got problems. You know, I know a lot about you without needing to know a lot about you specifically. I know you got problems. I know you ain't perfect. I've traveled so much of this world and never found a perfect person, and I'm never gonna. That's how I know. I know you hurt. I know you get proud. I know you make mistakes you don't like. I know that you've prayed that God forgive you for sin that you committed again. Why? Because I know what people are. And I'm a people too. And I'm right there with you. Man, I tell you what, you don't need to grind down my ego. There ain't nothing there. But sometimes that pride gets in. Oh, no, I don't want them to find out. No, I can handle this. If they find out, I can't. Oh, no. How do you know that's not the Lord stepping in? We talked about this before. What if you use the materials I already gave you? What? You put it like that, it just sounds so easy. What if the answer's already in the book? What if you can't find it because I mean for you to ask? So that you'd have someone pray with you so you wouldn't feel alone. There's a reason for why God does things the way He does and why He causes things to happen the way He causes them to happen. God's not haphazard. He's not reckless. He's not careless either. He knows exactly how to work this thing out. Right? Read back at what we saw in John. They were coming to make Him a king. And He goes, oh, nope, that's too early. Time to get out. I tell you what, I wonder how many of these preachers today, of any denomination or size, if the people decided to make them a governor, a president, a king, they would say, well, if that's what the Lord's will is, here I go. No, not the Lord. Nope, my Father has a timeline and I'm keeping it. And He dashed off. He knows exactly how to handle every single situation. And old Peter, talk about making things worse. If you're in a boat and there's a storm, Dennis, you ever been out in a boat when there was a storm? It's fun, isn't it? You ever thought about stepping out into the water during that? As a matter of fact, that would be the very last thing I'd want. See, I'm not afraid of the storm. I'm not afraid of the boat rocking. I'm afraid of falling out and drowning, right? That's what I'm afraid of. If I'm ever out in the middle of a storm on a boat, I don't fear the boat. I don't fear the storm. I fear stepping out onto the water accidentally or getting knocked out and drowning. Oh, Peter. Lord, if it's you, let me come on out there. Now listen, I know the Lord said, peace be still. And by the way, He means that. Peace be still. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. He means that. Don't be afraid. What could happen in your life He can't undo? He who's brought people back from the dead. He who's been able to cure ills and hurts and rip people back from the brink of death. He who hung the stars in the sky. What do you have to fear? When He says, be not afraid. Amen. Nothing to fear. But even with that on the table, I'd be like, well, the Lord is here. He's going to fix the problem, right? The Lord's here. He's going to fix this. Oh, Peter. All right, you know what, Lord? Bid me to come out to you. I dare you. What did he do? Hey, come on, Peter. Come on. Come on. Peter, he stepped out on that boat, and here comes one of many lessons of humility. He steps out, and everything's going good, and everything's working. And he sees the size of the storm, and he sees the effect that it's having, and he loses sight of Jesus, and he falls. Now, I've heard people refer to this as, well, the spell was broken. Did you know that Jesus wasn't a magician? They were His laws. He bypassed them. Right? We have basic laws. If I took Caspian and threw him out into the water, most of him would sink. Right? But God gave us the ability to swim. there's a few things that just get to me. Like, I understand why a boat like Brother Dennis's or Charlie's will float. I get why those float. But when I see these great big battleships or these great big carriers that's got jet planes taking off and landing on them, that doesn't make sense how that's able to stay out there. I mean, I went through school. I understand buoyancy. I get all that. But if I took a big old hunk of metal and threw it out there in the ocean, it would sink to the bottom. But God created a thing called buoyancy. And under certain shapes and certain materials, they can float. You know what else gets me? Airplanes. I'll never understand airplanes. I get it. Lift, force. I get the mathematics behind it. It still doesn't make sense. You mean to tell me you could put a couple hundred people in a big old metal tube and a bunch of their stuff, but not too much of their stuff, right? You can only carry so many pounds of luggage with you. But if you have $100, it makes the plane able to carry more. It's weird. You load all that with a couple bags of peanuts and you take off into the air, and that's just an everyday thing. That gets me. The Lord created lift. He also created gravity. And if he says, I don't have to listen to that, he doesn't have to listen to that because it's his. We got a door in our house. The door gets slammed a lot. It tracks a lot of dirt into the kitchen. So we don't let the kids use it. You know who gets to use that? I do. And Melody. But I do. Go out that door. Why is my door? Tell me I can't go out my door. That's the Lord's. Right? I got a chair. I bet you have a chair too. That's your chair. If the dog's in your chair, what do? Kick that dog right out of your spot. That's my spot. So if the Lord wants to sit there and say, guess what? My feet are buoyant today. That's what's going to happen. It wasn't a magic spell. It wasn't something that Peter did. It was what he forgot. I hear a theme among preachers today, and I was glad to hear it this weekend. It wrecked my heart, but I was glad to hear it. How many preachers, they look back at other men and they go, I'm not really fit to stand among them. I thought that was just me. I did. Had all those preachers down in my room. We're praying. And to me, I felt like a little boy again, little teenager, sitting with the preachers, too afraid to speak. And the first night we were down there, they were all sitting there waiting for someone to say something. And I was waiting for one of the important men to say something. It took me 30 seconds to dig while we were being quiet. Because they were all waiting for me. That's never happened before. I tell you what, some of these preachers, some of these pastors, they don't feel like they're fit to fill the pulpit, and yours is one of them. And it's important for us to understand that there's nothing wrong with that thought process. As long as it doesn't get a little self-serving and ego-bashing and you're beating yourself up. As long as you don't get sinful or destructive with it, it's okay. Because you want to know what? You're not worthy of it. And any pastor I know, guess what? They're not worthy of it. I've known some pastors who are good at it, who are great at it, that I love to hear and love to be around. I love them. I have much to learn from them. But at the end of the day, the only reason why we get to be up here is because God gave us that call. But I'm not worthy of the call. If you were worthy of the call, I wouldn't call you. If you're worthy of the call, we wouldn't need you. You wouldn't need salvation. No, because you're unworthy. Come on up. And what is it that we preach? Not our knowledge, not our thoughts, not our processes, but what the Bible says. Look at that. Bet Brother Titus never did that. I'm telling you, it's not our words. And by whose strength is it? It's not yours. And by whose ability? Not mine. We need to understand that we as Christians, we as children of God, we as servants of God, we're not worthy to sit where we sit. We're not worthy to be able to be in the positions we are in the church. Well, brother, all I do is, no. This is the Lord's house. There is no brother I jest. If you're a member of this church, that is a position of high calling in life. I serve the living God. And of course you're not worthy. Don't worry about not being worthy. Because it ain't you walking on that water. It wasn't Peter walking on that water. Peter didn't have such great faith that gave him magical powers. No! It didn't level him up to God's ability. God held him over that water. Just like he holds you where you are today. Your knowledge, your experiences, your ability to serve. He holds you there. Like Nebuchadnezzar, he could make us all mad. Turn us to eating grass on the hillside. You have what you have by the grace of God. And don't you worry about how deep out into that water he asks you to walk. He's got every step covered. Austin Johnson was getting ready to head on down there to the new church down there in Murray. House sold like that. House bought like that. New job like that. What got me was the job. Is he's always been a fantastic manager at a car dealership, and now he's going to be overseeing three of them. Well, if I step out into the ministry, how am I going to be able to feed my family? I don't know how that other fellow lost his job, but I know why. Because that was God's plan. Lord blesses that church, causes it to grow. Brother Johnson's going to be able to quit. You understand what I'm saying? Every step you take in obedience to the Lord, you're going to find ground whether you see it or not. There was a lot of things that we had to do. And I thought this is going to be hard. Nope. It's like we say around our house, super easy, barely an inconvenience. Just, oh, here's this opportunity, here's this, here's that. Even our nightmares. You know, I think back to that point. Lord, why are these people at the rental facility not answering us? Why aren't they calling us? They're not responding to our emails. It's been 1 month. It's been 2 months. It's been 3 months. What are we going to do? Lord, why? It's the booger man out on the water coming to get me. No, no, you silly, silly guy. I've got a plan you just don't know about yet. And in our lack of faith, we fall. And we drag our lips against the dirt, just, I'm no good. I'm not a part. Nobody would care if I didn't. We would care. You're right where you are because you need to be. And we need to stop being so humble. And why I don't want to, never mind, I want to take the word back. It's not humble we're being. We're being silly. And I've been there, and I bet you have too. Where every now and then I forget that of course it's not about me. Of course, it's not about my talents or my abilities. I make the joke, man, one of these days that church is going to find out I ain't fit. They're going to find out I ain't worth it, man. Of course I'm not. It's not my word. It's not my talent. It's not my ability. It's not anything having anything to do with me. Anything I have, God gave me. And anything you need to do what God has asked you to do, He's going to give you. So guess what? It's not about you. Oh, but it hurts. You don't understand. It hurts to lose function and not be able to do all the things you want to do. I don't understand, but I don't have to understand. You know who understands? God does. And I'll be honest with you, this pastor knows exactly how to use somebody who's been in the ministry for a while. I know exactly what to do. We open up that brain and we get it to teach. That's what we do. You spend your life developing a wealth of knowledge and how things run right and how they don't run well, right? You develop all that knowledge. Guess what? At a certain age, it's your job. Well, I sit a lot more than I do. Good. Sit while you're teaching. Well, I don't have the energy to teach anymore. I can barely make it into the church. Good. Pray for us. Sit in the throne room and give a report. Be the person who talks to the commander and says, oh, Lord, help them. It is not about what you bring to the table, but what God can do with you. And our positions and our responsibilities and our workload will ebb and it will flow. But God's going to use you for exactly what you're for. You think of this. When God is done with us, we go home. When God's done with us, we go home. For any of you who are in the military, did you get to stay for an extra 3 or 4 weeks where you were deployed? Just for giggles? No, when they were done with you, what did they do? We're not feeding you anymore, go home. Right? It's too much, go home. Like they didn't sit there and say, alright, well listen, you're off duty, but feel free to sunbathe on the deck of the ship for a while. They don't do that. The moment you're done, they send you home. God's the same. I have known people on their deathbed still giving the gospel. I've had people that I've gone to comfort in their final moments give me comfort like I was the one about to go through a hard time. We're never done. And when we're done, believe you me, He'll bring us back from deployment. So we ought not worry. All of a sudden this becomes dangerous territory to walk on the water. Serving the Lord has always been dangerous territory. You've never been good enough at it. But God will give you the ability. He'll give you the words to say. He even told us this, that when you're on trial, when they bring you up and they're questioning you, don't even worry about what you're going to say. The Spirit will give you what to say. It all comes from God. So guess what? If you're sitting here and you're like me and you go, I'm not the right guy for the job. I'm not the right person to serve the Lord properly. I'm no good at anybody. You ever get like I get sometimes? Don't you worry. God will give you what you lack. Don't worry about it. Well, you thought you'd be born the super Christian? How quickly did it take you to get disappointed? That we were not all super Christians. And you know what? I've met a lot of super Christians. You know what I learned about them? They're lying. They struggle. They hurt. They question themselves. There's no such thing as the super Christian. There's just those of us who are more obedient than others. And that is what we must strive for. When the Lord says, come out, we must go out. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I'll tell you where we doubted. He looked at his feet and he goes, these aren't webbed feet. These aren't boats. He looked up at the wind. He goes, I'm not supposed to be out here. None of this is natural. None of this is right. You ever go to serve the Lord and you feel like a duck out of the water or a man on the water? A fish out of the water or a man in the water? We have. I bet you have. I know you have. Why? Because that's how far the Lord takes us, doesn't he? Pulls us right out of our comfort zone. And we forget that it's not us. Ever have somebody pull you out into the water when you were a kid? When you're just old enough to be held up by somebody on their arms? You know, somebody around Gideon or Melody's age, and they pull you out on that water, and you feel that water get higher and higher up in your back, and you start to panic, and you forget that it's not your little toes on the ground, it's a big adult's. That's us in the Lord. It's not you serving in the conference. Lord will give you strength. It's not you giving the gospel. Lord will give you strength. Well, I don't know what I would say. You don't have to know what you would say. You just need to rely on the Lord to say what you need to say. Go over there. Trust me, it'll come out. It'll happen. Because that is how God treats us. Oh, Peter, he says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, when we read that, it's quiet. Isn't it quiet in this room? Just listen. You kids are doing a good job today. It's quiet. Quiet. That's not the way Peter heard it. Peter heard it with the wind ripping over the waves. He heard it with the apostles in the boat going, ah! He heard it with the sloshing of the water. And I don't know how far deep down he got in there when the troubles that were bothering him overwhelmed him. We don't know how far he got down. Maybe he even had some water in his ears, making that funny little echo sound. But he heard through all the storm that rebuke from Jesus Christ. Why'd you doubt? Why would you doubt? haven't I given you enough? Haven't I shown you enough? It says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now there is a difference in focus between Matthew, Mark, and John. Luke doesn't bring it up. But Matthew, verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. At the end of this little episode, the water stopped, the wind stopped, and everybody worshipped Jesus Christ. You're the Son of God, we get it now. We've seen umpteen hundred miracles, but we see it now. We're not only I don't know how they did it. But my suspicion is what we see in another book. But there they are, worshiping, excited. Now you go over to Brother Mark. Brother Mark says in verse 51 of chapter 6, it says, and he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Okay, that makes sense. That kind of comes along with what they said. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Uh-oh, somebody went and they got ahead and they got introspective about it. Matthew talks about the joy. Mark brings up the rebuke. I like to think that perhaps either Mark heard it or Peter told him about it. We doubt it. We doubt it. The key there is that their heart was hardened. Now, I don't remember much from my 12th grade pottery class, but I remember that if you leave it out and you don't do what the teacher tells you, the clay itself becomes hard and after a while becomes difficult to work with. It must be fresh. And I also kind of think of like a candle. When is a candle the most malleable and soft? When it's liquid. You could melt down the wax and you could pour that hot wax into any shape on earth, and it will match that shape as a liquid, and then when it hardens, it's not as movable. Oh, you can still shape it a little bit, but not as movable as it is when it is hot. When I hear a good sermon, that wick lights. As I am praying, as I am doing what I'm supposed to do, that fire stays lit. We come out from the conference, all that preaching, man, all of our wicks need to be lit. It was like that George Johns used to say, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. And what happens to us? We are hot, we're excited, we're on fire. Oh Lord, show me more. Lord, tell me what else I can get rid of. Tell me what else I can do for you. We are excited, and in that excitable state, we're movable, shapeable, employable. But as we unload the dishwasher for the third or fourth, ninth, 12th time, as we defrost the chicken for another day, as we go out and we mow the lawn again and life drudges on, we stop praying, we stop reading, or we lessen, and what happens to our wicks? The fire dims, it grows colder, and things in us begin to solidify. You know, that was a lot of people to feed with five loaves. And those fish were pretty small. Are we sure that happened? Well, that happened, but the likelihood of anything like that happening again, that's small. We've seen people who aren't able to walk, walk. We've seen people who weren't able to see, see. We've seen people who were never, ever in their lives mobile for any bit. And not only did they have the ability to walk, but God caused the things to grow in their brain so they knew how to. But when it comes down to this situation, you know, that was yesterday. God was faithful yesterday. We have no promises. You know, we've seen wide healing or just rapid changes in cancer diagnoses. And we've had other illnesses. You know, you think of Brother Hilly. We were talking about that. Last year, that's who we were praying for. This year, praying for Brother McGahan. And I tell you what, I firmly believe that tomorrow, Brother McGahan could probably walk out of that hospital in good health if God deemed him to. I ain't going to forget, because the last few times, I thought, well, Lord, that's it. You've already given us an answer. And he changed it on us in the last second. That's it. We need to start preparing for it. Oh, never mind. Okay. How many times? Yeah, we see the next one and we go, well, that's it. What's happened to us? We've gone hard in the hearts. And there's only one way to soften it back up. And that is closeness with the Lord. Look at them. Look at how excited they are in the book of Matthew. Look how excited they are in Mark 51. Or sorry, not Mark 51. Yeah, Mark 51. Amazed and wonder in their heart, and all of a sudden the wax gets soft again. And we're excited. And we're there and we're on fire and things are great. But whether we take the reproach or we just take the rescue, John 6:21 gives us this. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. See, John doesn't mention the whole thing with Peter. Now, John mentions that he runs faster than Peter, but he didn't mention this. What he adds to the story is at the end of it, they were right where they were supposed to be. Where God told them to get in the ship and go. And the only conclusion that I can form at this is that at the end of these storms, at the end of these humblings, at the end of these reassurances that it's not our strength but His, at the end of these things, we end up where we are supposed to be. We see again, He worketh all things for good. Were their clothes wet? Yes. Were they coming off of an adrenaline high? Yes. You ever crash after adrenaline high? That's no fun, is it? Especially one where you're working for hours. That is no fun. And that's where they were. Nerves shot. They're excited. They're deliriously happy. They just witnessed another miracle. You are the Son of God. Their wax is nice and liquid. And they ended up physically right where they needed to be too. See, first we need to be right spiritually. And then we will find that the entire process took us exactly where we needed to be for the thing to happen. You know, God's told me no sometimes. Oh, it makes me so upset. Especially when I was younger. I'm not saying I've been any better. But I, Lord, this is what I think we ought to do. And it didn't work out. I get so frustrated just to find where I'm supposed to be. I did. I bounced from a couple different churches. I was in contact with a couple different churches. And I'll be honest with you this. I don't mean to be mean to anybody. But I've traveled to churches who are looking for a pastor who I really don't think were looking for a pastor. Where are you from? Michigan. Oh, no, we don't want a pastor from Michigan. We had a pastor from Michigan one time and he missed home and he went back. So, obviously, we can't have a pastor from Michigan. Well, wait, you got kids? Yeah. Well, we can't afford to give you insurance, so we don't want to call a pastor who has health. I'm like, well, what if I got a job and got my own insurance? Yeah, we wouldn't want to ask you to do that. We're sorry. My heart was beat up. And a year before y'all invited me to fill the pulpit, the phone stopped ringing. You know what I said? That's it. And I even got to thinking, and I don't talk about this at all, but I got to thinking, maybe, Lord, I was wrong. Maybe you don't want me. 30 years old. Maybe you don't want me. And then you all called me to come preach. I go, I'll go preach. I'll go preach. When I tell you I had zero expectation, I had zero expectation. Because that part of me, and again, it hurts to talk about, that part of me was dead. My faith was shook. My heart was as hard as that candle sitting on my desk. You're done with me, I know that. That's not the way that went. I probably heard, if I heard 10 no's, I heard 1,000. But when I left this church after the first time, I preached. And nobody said anything. Y'all were cool as a cucumber about it. Nobody said anything. Hey, we'd like to have you come back. Nobody. And I was like, that was a good... By the time I got in the car, I go, oh, Lord. I didn't want to feel this again. But I want to go there. I want to go there. I love Flat Rock. I never want to leave Flat Rock. But y'all had me at just that point. Hurt. All those no's. To get me right where I needed to be. And then what happened? The floodgates opened. The floodgates opened. And things rapidly changed with my job. And I saw the door closing. I was like, well, the thing that I wanted in this job, I wanted this grand promotion, and I worked for years to set up the groundwork for this position up in the corporate office that I wanted. I helped write some of the things for it. I thought I was going to be the guy for it. And then they're like, no, we're not going to do that anymore. You're going to have to stay doing the math at your property. And I don't know if you understand how I do math. It's not great. Like, oh, man, this started closing the door down. You can't stay here. You're going to have to find something else. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I already gave you that answer. It was so funny how the closer I got to you folks, the more that area down there shut down to me. There was no question. They said, when God closes a door, he opens a window. No, he gets you through. He'll knock a wall down to get you out of that thing, man. Sometimes we have to go through the hard stuff. Sometimes our heart has to break, and it's sad that we have to be miserable, but that is the human condition. There's a place coming where we won't feel miserable. And once we get there, man, it's going to be nice. But until then, this is what we got. And sometimes we face the storms, and sometimes we're out in the water, and sometimes we lose our faith. Sometimes our heart gets hardened. Sometimes. But there's always a remedy, and that remedy is closeness with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we're so thankful for all the things you do for us. And Lord, with such a heavy prayer request list right now, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy, Lord, to hurt. And Father, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to find ourselves at the end of our physical ability. It's okay for us to find ourselves at the end of our mental ability. But Lord, the song's not over till you say it is. And Lord, if the good happens, if the bad happens, you're going to put us exactly where we need to be. So Lord, I pray you soften our hearts. Keep us on fire. Lord, give us the strength to serve you, and Lord, to maintain our faith when the boat gets rough. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Page 65.